Ecclesia in the United Kingdom, who's going to present us the words of exhortation this evening. He's entitled these words, Built on What? And Before the Storm Tells the Truth. And it is based upon our Matthew 7 reading. Brother Stephen.
Well, good afternoon, brothers and sisters and young people. I'll begin with a question. What if, in the next moment of your life, you came face to face with the Lord Jesus? What a thought to have at the beginning of our Bible school. And suddenly the Lord's eyes fix on yours. And he speaks to you. And you know when he speaks that these words will echo into eternity. Now Matthew chapter 7, the chapter that we've just read together, is all about this particular question. Matthew chapter 7 concludes the Sermon on the Mount. And what we're going to do by way of exhortation this afternoon is to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear his concluding words of this sermon. And we're going to see that in this sermon reveals some very hard truths for you and for me. Because the Lord says that it will be many, not a few, that will discover in that great day when they come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks to you and his eyes are fixed on you, that it will be many, not few, who will discover that they never knew Jesus. They spoke about him. They served in his name. But they never built their lives on him. And so then we want to consider these words for our exhortation. And we're going to see that these words are divinely designed to awaken us. That they're not words to soothe us. They are words that demand our personal reflection. So we look down at our scriptures in Matthew chapter 7. There's two particular warnings that we're going to look at this afternoon. That the first warning is called the danger of self-deception. And it begins there in verse 21 and it concludes in verse 23. And then a very well-known parable for us all, the building on the rock or the sand, there in verses 24 to 27 is the challenge. The challenge that you and I have in our lives to build upon the rock. And the exhortation for you and for me is that when the storms come, and they will come, brothers and sisters, that is the moment when our foundations are exposed. So with those opening thoughts, then, I'd like us then to consider the danger of self-deception. Matthew chapter 7 then, and verse 21, the words of the Lord here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew thee. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So in these words here, we're taken right to the judgment seat. So this is why we began with that opening question. What it will be like when we come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he's saying here. We're facing the judgment seat. And the phrase I want you to notice there right away, the beginning of verse 22, it's worth just jotting this down in your margin, in that day. You see that? In that day. And it's this particular phrase that echoes passages like Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12, which speak of a day of reckoning with the Lord Jesus Christ when all things will be laid bare. So this is the context, brothers and sisters. This is the judgment seat. This is the reality of our lives. And notice here that in this situation, standing before the glorious Lord, that there will be those who will cry, Lord, Lord, there in verse 22. So they address him with the right title, but their lives do not reflect his lordship. And this is the point, brothers and sisters, that Lord Jesus Christ here is exposing the dangerous disconnect between confession and obedience. And I want you to notice that phrase. I emphasize it there in verse 22. But it's worth noting, it's worth just underlining those phrases there in verse 22. In your name. You see that? In your name, or in thy name, in thy name, in thy name. You see the repetition there in verse 23. Three times that is repeated there at the judgment seat. And it's like a point of justification, isn't it? It's like this person is saying, but Jesus, just look at my spiritual resume. So they invoke his name as a badge of honor. They have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they stress that very fact, don't they? They have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on their lips, but they fail to have his name in their hearts. Now with that, I want you to come to Luke chapter 6, the parallel account here. And there's a few little details in Luke chapter 6 that are absent there in the Matthew account. So there we are, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, a very straightforward verse here. And the Lord says, and why call ye me? So here we have a response. Notice that we have a response from the Lord that is absent in Matthew chapter 7. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? They didn't live under the Lord's authority. Yes, the resume was impressive. Remember, we read there in Matthew 7, verse 22, that they were prophesying and they were casting out demons and they were performing many works. And these are not small acts, are they, brothers and sisters? These are great, powerful demonstrations of the power of God. Extraordinary displays. Yet the Lord has this chilling finality in his words by saying there in Matthew 7 and verse 23, I never knew thee. And I want you just to come back. We're going to go back there in Luke chapter 6 in a moment. But come back to Matthew chapter 7. And I just want you to just look at these words. They are important for us to all observe as we see the signs of times unfolding. Let us get prepared for the reality of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. So notice here, the Lord says, after this great confession of these great works that this individual had done, the Lord said, I have never known you, or I never knew you. I don't know whether you appreciate, but the Greek is emphatic in that statement there, I never knew you. It should be translated like this. Never at any time, not even once, did I know you. I'm going to repeat that again. Never at any time, not even once, did I know you. That's the literal Greek. This isn't I knew you once, but I drifted. The Lord here is saying that there was never a relationship, that there was never a covenant, that there was never communion. This is not where we want to be, is it, brothers and sisters? And that word new there, you may know, it's the Greek word ginosko. And it literally means a deep, personal, relational knowledge. It is not an academic knowledge. It is no intellectual awareness. It is a relationship that is born out of time. It speaks of intimacy. In fact, it's the very same word that the Lord Jesus Christ uses. And if I said these words, you know right away. When the Lord Jesus Christ talks about him being the shepherd and we being his flock, and he says there in John 10 verse 14, I know my sheep and I am known of mine. It's the same word, ginosko. So in other words then, if this word relates to you and to me, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has to be the shepherd in our lives. And we, therefore, are the following sheep. But although Jesus says these words in John chapter 10, here in Matthew chapter 7, he's saying, isn't he, entirely opposite words. He's saying the opposite. He's saying here, you were never mine. You used my name, but you never knew my heart. I was never your shepherd, and you were never my sheep. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Think about that carefully. We're here at Bible school because we want to build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not want to find ourselves in this camp. And very helpfully, the Lord Jesus explains why they never knew him and why he never knew them. He says, notice verse 23, I never knew you, why? Depart from me, here you are, ye that work iniquity. That word iniquity literally means lawlessness. It's not about sin in general. It is the willful rejection of God's authority. I want us to think about that, brothers and sisters. It's describing an individual who was active in the Lord's service, but lived by their own rules. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? Active in the Lord's service, but living by your own rules? Their hearts never submitted to the will of God. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because it says there at the end of verse 21, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So in other words then, for you and I to please the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to do the will of our Father in heaven. I want us to notice that, because we're going to be coming back to that point in a very short moment. We have to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Sounds so simple. But to do the will of our Heavenly Father is to listen and to respond to the Lord's message, which we're going to see brought out now in the parable of the builders. But before we look at this parable, it forces us to act. In the work that we do in the service of the Lord, and the reason why you and I have come to Bible school, we should ask ourselves the question, am I doing this to know Jesus or just to be seen by others? Do I really want to know Jesus, or do I just want to look like I do? They're heart-searching questions, brothers and sisters, at the beginning of our week together. And the Lord pulls no punches. There's a sense of urgency in the words that he delivers here. Now I want to go to the second theme, the challenge of building upon the rock, which we're going to see is picked up in verse 24 and concludes at the end of the chapter. And it feeds on the first message, which we're going to see in a moment. But let's just try and decipher what the Lord is saying here. So verse 24 then of Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So I'm sure we all are fairly familiar with this wonderful parable of the Lord. But just notice a few things that are common. First of all, there are two builders. There are two houses. And there is one storm. And at first glance, they appear to be very similar. Notice a little detail here. Verse 24, concerning the wise man, notice that he heareth. You see that? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings is like the wise man. So notice, I want you to notice that the wise man hears. But so does the foolish man. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So that's another common thread between the two. They both hear the words of the Lord. And both build something. So from the outside, both houses probably look solid. They probably looked impressive even. But there is a big difference, and here's the difference. The wise man built his house there at the end of verse 24 upon a rock. And this is where I'd like you just to pull out your pencils. This is an important point. This is the Greek word petra. And it means a massive, immovable slab of bedrock. I'll repeat that. The word rock there is the Greek word petra, which means a massive, immovable, solid slab of bedrock. And this word is in direct contrast with a word I'm sure you've all heard of, Petros. And the word Petros, and this is the parable that is being shown here, the word Petros is a loose stone or boulder. In other words, sand. So it's the parable of the Petra versus the Petros. And the wise builder here builds everything that we're going to see upon the massive, immovable rock. So that's the first point I want us to notice here. The comparison between Petra and Petros. And it was the wise man who built everything upon this solid slab foundation rock. Now, as you picture that in your mind, I now want you to go back with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 28. What we're going to do here, we're just going to pick out one verse, and you'll see the connection right away. But hopefully, as we've gone back here, we're thinking about this parable, about the wise man who built his house upon the solid foundation slab of rock. And this is what the prophet Isaiah says here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that notice believeth shall not make haste. Now, there's a number of things I want you to notice. First of all, notice the end of verse 15, where the prophet says, for we have made lies our refuge, and our falsehood have we hid ourselves. The whole context of Isaiah chapter 28 was a rebuke to the Jewish leaders. They were trusting in their political alliances. And here the prophet describes these political alliances with the nations around them as lies, as refuge, and under falsehood that we hid ourselves. And so then, here the Lord God is saying, rather than having these political alliances as firm foundations, I want you to think about the foundation that I have laid. Now the little detail here, have a look again at verse 16. It says there, I lay in Zion for a foundation. You may have in your margin, I have laid. Have you seen that? Can you see that? I have laid. it is a past sense. The Lord God had laid, something had been set, a plan had been established. And the nation of Israel should have understood this plan. So here then, God is pointing out a different kind of foundation. A kind of foundation that he himself has laid. And unlike the foundations that the children of Israel were laying, this was not man-made. This was a divine foundation stone. This was tested, chosen, precious, and unbreakable. And brothers and sisters, Isaiah 28 verse 16 is the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ being the rock, the foundation stone that Yahweh himself had laid. Now think about that. Think about that in the minds of Israel. They should have understood that the foundation stone was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the only begotten of the Father. In fact, it's the Apostle Paul that quotes this verse, verse 16, in Romans 9, verse 33. And Peter in 1 Peter 2, verse 6. So both the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles and the Apostle Peter to the Jews, they pick up Isaiah 28, verse 16, and make the connection that the great slab, the foundation stone, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in other words, brothers and sisters, as we think about the words of Matthew chapter 7, it is an open invitation to you and to me to build our lives on the stone, the immovable, the unbreakable stone that God had already laid. Now, that triggers an aching question, doesn't it, in your heart and in my heart, whether you, whether I, really are building our entire lives upon the foundation stone of Isaiah 28, verse 16, that the Lord God has laid. And for you and for me, brothers and sisters, as we begin this school together, as we get into the studies, we should never forget what God has done for you and for me in the life, death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The stone was laid. In those acts, the stone was laid. And I want us now to think about if the stone was laid, and this is why we have come this afternoon, the stone was laid. What should you be doing? And what should I be doing? So with that question, come with me to Luke chapter 6, the parallel account to Matthew chapter 7. As I said, there's a few little details in Luke chapter 6 that are not revealed in Matthew chapter 7. And I believe here this is the crucial detail. And how many of us, brothers and sisters, have missed this point? Luke chapter 6. The all-important, crucial detail. Verse 48. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep. This is the wise man. And laid the foundation on a rock. That's Isaiah 28, verse 16. And when the flood arose, a stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, the all-important phrase I want us all to note, and again, it's worth underlining there, is that this wise man, we're told here, he digged deep. Can you see that? He digged deep. We don't see that in any other account. It is here. He dug deep, the hard, unseen work of real faith. This is prayer, isn't it? This is study. This is daily surrender. This is true faith. And true faith isn't just what is visible, is it? It is that which is deep-rooted. It is that which is unseen. It is that which is unwavering. It's slow. And the powerful point, brothers and sisters, and the appeal that the Lord goes out to you and to me is that both the wise and the foolish heard. They both heard the word of God. They were both brothers and sisters. They both attended Bible schools. But one dug deep upon the foundation stone. Now, as we go back to Matthew chapter 7, with those powerful and that stirring image there, just want you to trace a little word. I don't know whether you noticed it when we read it together. It's the word doeth. So both the wise and the foolish heard. The difference, brothers and sisters, was in the doing. The difference was in the doing. Now the mission here is there in verse 21. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, okay? So that was the mission statement. That was the example that they had to live up to and emulate in their lives. They had to do the will of their Heavenly Father. And we're here, aren't we, brothers and sisters? We all want to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Look at verse 24 about the wise man. He heareth, notice, and he doeth. So we've got a positive couplet there. He hears and he doeth. But verse 26 is different, isn't it? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Can you see the point? The mission statement was to do the things of my Heavenly Father in verse 21. The good wise man heard, and doeth. In verse 26, the foolish heard and did not. And so that is the difference, brothers and sisters. What is the difference between the wise and the foolish? It can be simply distilled into one simple point. One dug. And so the real doing. This is so incredibly profound from the words of the Lord. The real doing, brothers and sisters, in this parable is the work that is hidden. It is not the visible. And it's not just the hidden. It's the digging deep and deep and deep so that you and I connect to the foundation. That's the purpose of our lives, brothers and sisters. It's not about building high and lofty things. It's about building deep so that we connect our lives to the foundation and the slab that the Lord God laid in Isaiah chapter 28. So as we think back to that judgment seat in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to judge how high you have built, but he's going to judge how deep you have dug. It's not how much you have done and how much you have built, but it's what you have built on him. Can you see that? Can you see that, brothers and sisters? It's so incredibly powerful, isn't it? What you and I have built upon him. So if we think about what it's called here, the parable of the wise and the foolish builders, perhaps it misses the point. Perhaps it should be called the parable of the foundations. Or even better, the parable of the digging. This is what this parable is all about. So what will it matter in that great day where we began in Matthew chapter 7? As I said, it's not what you have built, but what you are built on. It's not how high you have risen, it's how deep you have dug. And so as our minds now go to the emblems and the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful work, who laid down his life for his friends. And in the laying down of his life for his friends, the foundation stone was laid for his friends. And we are only his friends, brothers and sisters, if we dig deeply and we connect and build our lives upon that foundation stone. So it's quite a thing, isn't it? It's quite a thing if we just reflect upon how we began our exhortation together. The one who will judge your foundation. At the judgment seat, he's the one, isn't he? He's the one who's going to judge your foundation. Is the very same one who has offered you to be your foundation. Think about that. The one who has come to judge your foundation has offered you to be your foundation. The one who will speak on that final day is the one who has already been laid, the great rock, the one that was chosen by God. The one that was chosen by God to be your and my personal foundation. And I think that's a good way, isn't it, brothers and sisters, as we begin our thoughts this week of Bible school. On this Sunday, we should ask ourselves as we begin our studies, God willing, tomorrow. As you think about your past year, maybe some of you were here at Bible school here last year. How well have you built your life upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is not about building near him. This is about building on him. This is not a life of surface activity where we proclaim we've done all these great things in his name. This is about digging deep, brothers and sisters. This is the unseen work, the work that our brothers and sisters don't know about. This is the prayerful, quiet meditation, your relationship building as you listen and as you hearken to the words of the Good Shepherd. The storms, brothers and sisters, in your life and my life, will one day come. And in that day, and there will be a great day, when all will be revealed. What foundation will be revealed in that day? And we know from Scripture that only one foundation will stand. Jesus, the rock. So, brothers and sisters, dig. Dig deep. Dig there and dig your lives on him.